Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have two incredible millennials who are building an amazing business in co-working. Megha Agarwal, Neha Agarwal, welcome to the show.
Thank you
for having us. Thank you.
Megha and Neha are founders of You Occupy, a co-working space designed exclusively for women. Megha is the analytical brain, as they say, and Neha is the creative head. So Megha and Neha, tell me, you know, I'm going to start with the power of collaboration that you wrote about. How is the collaboration between two sisters?
I think it's awesome.
Okay.
So Megha has lived overseas for the longest time, so we've not really spent much time together. But when she came back and she had this idea in mind, I thought it was a brilliant idea because I, being a baby photographer, I've interacted with a lot of women and mostly mothers who kind of struggle between juggling between their personal life and their professional life. And a lot of them actually want to do a lot of things, but they aren't able to for various reasons, okay. You know, so family restrictions or whatever.
So
since we came together after so many years, like to actually discuss an idea and work on it. So when she told me, I had a similar viewpoint and I shared that with her, and we actually came up with the idea of You Occupy. Okay. And it's U-O-Q-P-I, but we pronounce it as You Occupy, as most people can't pronounce it. Yes. So I just want to clarify that. Yeah. That's because, you know, we thought women should just be out there and occupy their space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a thought behind the name, and that's how You Occupy came into being.
Wonderful.
And there was a common trend that we saw throughout, not just in India, like she experienced, for me personally as well. Like overseas, there are a lot of events. I mean, similar in India, like we do attend a lot of events, networking events, mm-hmm. where there are great speakers who come on the show, mm-hmm. and we as audience, we go there. But sometimes it feels just a one-way conversation because we're sitting there just absorbing everything. And sometimes even after the networking, like you do have a small networking session afterwards, but it's very limited time. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what if the people who are attending it actually had more time to come together and talk about it more? So that's when the idea of You Occupy came together, and where we thought, all right, let's have a space, a physical space where people can actually, you know, talk to each other. Mm. Women can actually share their ideas, collaborate. And that's how we thought about You Occupy.
Amazing. I love the name. I mean, the way you've put it all together, I mean, you must, as a creative boss, must have all put it together.
A lot of thought went into the name because we were really contemplating us, because a lot of this co-working spaces have work, the word term work in it. We didn't want to make it sound like work. It should be more deeper than that.
Very so interesting.
It's like, occupy your space.
So let's move to your baby, You Occupy.
Yep.
What was the logic of making a co-working space exclusively for women?
Okay, so I'll correct you on that. Hmm. It's exclusively for women, yes, but we're not excluding men.
Okay.
So it's mainly for women-led businesses, okay. and women in the corporate world.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times we hear people talking about women empowerment, they want to do more for the women, they want to see more women in the corporate world as well. Mm-hmm. But what exactly is being done about it? Mm-hmm. So we thought, all right, we need to create a hub. And like she mentioned previously, a lot of women are ambitious, but sometimes they feel a bit lost. They don't know where to go to, they don't have mentors, there's so much that goes on in their mind. And as women, we're juggling a lot of things at the same time. For me personally as well, like when I was in the corporate world, yes, I had my 9-to-5 so-called job, but coming from a business banking world, like you don't have set hours, you're doing long hours. Mm-hmm. You might have a 10-hour or 12-hour day. But even after that, when you come back home, there's certain responsibilities that comes back to a woman, doing your daily chores, juggling between your work-life balance. So the whole idea was, let's create a space where women can actually come together, and we want to create a hub where they can share ideas and just anything that would help them, small steps that we could take to help promote them and progress in their career in a quicker way.
So, you know, I should have asked you this earlier, but tell me a little bit about both of you before you started, because you just said you were a banker.
That's right.
So maybe just a minute about what both of you are have done it before you started your venture.
So before I became an entrepreneur, for most of my life, I was working in the banking world. So I was working for nearly more than 10 years in a corporate world. So I remember...
And this was in the US?
In Melbourne, in Australia. Okay. Yes. So I remember when I first started in the business banking world, straight out of university, I was probably one of the only two females in a room full of men. And I thought, wow, that's really strange. And as females, I had to actually work an extra mile to prove myself. Not sure why, because we're as hardworking and diligent as men are.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, that's really interesting, and that got me thinking. And over the years, it's sort of like I started thinking about why is it? Why is there an inequality of men and women? Then in the corporate world, as I was growing up, I learned that it's more like a pyramid. On the lower level and middle level, you'll see a lot of women. But as you come to the management stage, you see that number being really skewed.
Correct.
And there are not as many women. And why is that? It comes back to additional responsibilities and whatnot. So I thought, okay, we really need to actually start rectifying this. And I'm actually pretty glad 10 years down the track, when I see myself in the corporate world still while I was working, a lot of corporates have taken a lot of initiatives.
Absolutely.
And they're actually promoting more women in business.
Yeah, so I'm going to come to the gender balance, because I'm a great believer that, you know, half the world must have half the share.
Absolutely.
And for different reasons, and as you said, you know, there are a lot more responsibilities than women have. You know, women, men are generally one track, go to their work, come back, you know. But I'll come to that.
Okay, sure.
But what about you, Neha?
So I was a graphic designer to start with, and since I've always been creative, so that's something I really enjoy doing. So I was working in the advertising agency for a few years, couple of years, after which I thought that, you know, now probably I should take it to the next level. And then I did my course in photography. And since then, it's been like 11 years, I've just been shooting mothers and kids.
Wow.
So that is something I'm really passionate about. And I love babies, and I love interacting with new babies every time I have a shoot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, having said that, you know, while when I would shoot and interact with women, that's when I realized that, you know, there's this really, there is something missing, you know, like people are not really able to go out there, and like Megha mentioned, they lack opportunities or they don't have a platform. So when we discussed this idea, we thought, you know, it just makes sense to
present. Fantastic. So let's come back to You Occupy. You know, tell me, how is You Occupy different from all the other co-working spaces that exist? Some of them are dying now, but...
That's right. And I think how we differentiate ourselves, like you would see there are a lot of co-working spaces now. It's a really competitive industry, right? Like even your cafes and restaurants, they started offering co-working space. So their main agenda is profit maximization. They want to start up a co-working space, create value straight up, make it profitable, and make it $1 billion valued company straight up. We're slightly different, and because of the many reasons we just mentioned. And as you, like a lot of, and especially in India, what we saw, what I personally saw as compared to living in Australia, the startup culture here is humongous.
Correct.
Enormous opportunities. And the young millennials straight out of universities, some of them even while being in universities, are being innovative, creative. They're thinking of new ideas to work for themselves. And if you think about doing business nowadays is actually getting more expensive.
Correct.
Your real estate prices are getting expensive. No one wants to be locked in into a certain contract for a certain time. And as startups, you can't really afford that as well. So we thought, all right, let's create a platform for women, because A, we want to obviously bridge the gap between gender inequality. And secondly, make it affordable as well. So we really, like, we offer a lot of flexible plans where keeping women in mind, because their way of working is actually slightly different to how men operate. When we did our research and we interacted with a lot of women, they said, all right, yes, we love working, but we're not committed to a 7-day or a 6-day week.
Yeah.
We may come to work, we might do 4 days a week or 3 days a week. So keeping that in mind, we actually designed You Occupy in such a way that we have flexible membership where they can come in.
That's very interesting. So, you know, next question to you is, you know, that in a world moving towards gender balance, you want, and again to quote you, become an incubator for women-led startups. So my question is going to be a little controversial. Why are you differentiating based on gender?
We're not differentiating at all. Like, we're not a feminist group or anything at all.
Yeah.
We're actually... So want to support, we actually want to invite men who support our cause as well.
Okay.
If I was to throw a question to you and ask you, can you name, say, 5 or 10 startups that were founded by women? Would you be able to think any names on top of your head?
No, not immediately.
And if I reverse it to men, you'll have plenty.
At least 10 names to give.
I agree.
Like, why is it that men are the forefront of all these startups?
No, and I agree with you. I think... In Guardian, about 35 or 40% of our workforce of about 12 to 1500 were women. And I've always said, women are much better workers, They've got far better ethics in work practices, right? They don't take unnecessary cigarette breaks, you know. And so I'm in full agreement with you. Yeah. And I think what you're doing is incredible, to be able to give, to empower, you know, potential women entrepreneurs. I think it's fantastic.
And something that I read somewhere said that, you know, women, even if they work for 4 hours a day, if they're going to office for 4 hours, they'll be any day more productive than men who are spending 10 hours in the office.
I agree.
Because then their focus is entirely on work, and they know they have to finish it off and juggle between home and other things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I've also said women are much better multitaskers than men can ever be.
Yep.
I agree.
So, don't misunderstand my question. I'm not trying bait you by asking you anything. I think it's fantastic what you're doing. So, let's move on. You know, you want to support entrepreneurs, and I sincerely hope you get many, many more women entrepreneurs who can be supported. But how are you drawing people to You Occupy? What is your offering that more and more entrepreneurs, because you're creating an ecosystem which goes beyond just providing physical space. So what are your thoughts on building You Occupy into an area which supports entrepreneurs?
So I'd like to answer that. I think, you know, so we basically have a community concept where people come together in unity. That's how we look at it, for a common cause or purpose. So the idea of You Occupy came, and we were thinking that, you know, we will have a physical platform where people, so imagine this. So imagine a Facebook where you interact with like a zillion people online, but you never really land up meeting most of them. You have communities within Facebook as well, and people do share and discuss their issues. But that's about it. It just ends there, it fizzles out, right? But here what we're trying to do is imagine if you have Facebook and then you have a headquarters for Facebook where you can just go and meet those people you're actually interacting with. I mean, how wonderful would that be? Because then there's a more personal touch to it, right? So similarly, here we have an online community and we have a physical space. So people who are interacting on the community can also come to the space and kind of make use of it, share their issues, share work-related problems or personal problems. Because eventually women understand women better, and probably most of us are dealing with the same issues, you know. So,
yeah. Okay. And do you also have opportunities for entrepreneurs to bring, you know, where you put them in touch with people who got money, people who can be mentors, people who can coach them?
Absolutely. So we want to build an ecosystem where it's a one-stop shop for them. Because as a startup, you know, there are a lot of roadblocks.
Correct.
There are a lot of things that you're trying to figure out in your mind. You don't know where to go.
Yeah.
So we're trying to create a hub, like a little database or a platform to where we can connect them with accountants, lawyers, venture capitalists. So it's like a one-stop shop for them, so it's easier. So anything that we keep in mind, as our journey was really hard at the start, what we could do to actually simplify it for them.
So, you know, when you create that ecosystem, and you do mention on your site and in what you said to me, you're creating a community, right? What do you think are the ingredients of a good community for entrepreneurs?
Well, I think when you have a common cause and a purpose, if you're passionate about it, to come together, I think that's really important.
Okay.
Because you can have a community, but if they're all disconnected, what's the point of that community? So like she, like Neha just mentioned, it's a community where people come together for unity, for a common for a common cause. I think that's really important.
Okay.
Otherwise, you get segregated. People have their own thought process, and they're not interacting as much. If you look at the current generation as well, like the millennials, we're so distant from each other.
Correct.
Like we've got all these social media platforms where we're meant to be more connected to people, but they're more connected to their electronic devices.
Mm.
So that's where we want a physical space and people to actually come together and connect.
That's amazing. That's quite amazing because, you know, as a startup entrepreneur, both of you are startup entrepreneurs, I was one also, it's a very lonely job.
Yeah, that's true.
And the two of you, each other to speak to, but when a startup entrepreneur comes into You Occupy, she must be very lonely.
Absolutely.
And that community and the ecosystem that you are
kind
providing.
Of support her.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
kind of
support
will be a huge support system.
Correct.
Isn't it?
That's the whole idea.
That's fantastic. Fantastic.
I mean, in most other co-working spaces, from the feedback we've got from people, a lot of people don't even know what the person sitting next to them is doing.
Yeah.
They don't even know their business.
Yeah.
But in our case, we don't want that to happen. We want everyone to interact. We're going to have offline socials as well, you know, where you interact and get to know each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably if I have a photographer or a lawyer and I need someone, you know, I don't have to like search the web for it. I can just ask that person to recommend someone, or I can use that person for my needs.
Correct.
So it just makes it a little easier, I think, you know, to kind of get to where they want to get.
I agree.
So,
I agree with you. I think what you're doing is quite amazing. So, you know, we spoke a little bit about mentors and coaches.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of women and men, mentors and coaches, who are of my vintage, you know, with huge amounts of experience. Have you considered bringing in so many people, and they all live in around Gurgaon, which is where UOCupy's first center is?
First center is correct.
What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. Like, I'm personally very big on mentorship, because personally I have benefited a lot in my corporate world, and I want more women to benefit from it as well. So we want both male and female mentors to actually come together. And I'm sure through your platform as well, there are serial entrepreneurs out there who would want to reach out and actually help budding entrepreneurs to come up and help them, coach them and whatnot. That we're really looking forward to do that. Yeah.
Okay. So one last question on UOCupy before I move to some of your thoughts on startups. What are your thoughts to grow UOCupy around the country?
So currently, we just have one center at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost at capacity. So we definitely want to grow and build more UOCupy centers. Mm-hmm. So the first center that we started off with, we had a bit of challenging times with it because it was an existing office space that we had, and we had to actually mold and play around with what we had.
And that's where.
So initially, I wanted to
design skills came.
So yeah, so this was initially when we saw the space. It was pretty much half done. So I wanted to scrap it all completely and start from scratch and do like a really fancy thing. Whereas she, being the analytical brain, was like, no, we can't spend so much money.
We have limited resources.
Yeah.
We can't spend it all.
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, fine. I mean, we did have our differences there in opinion. But eventually I did realize that, okay, let's try and work with whatever we have. So it became slightly more difficult. But I think it was so much fun because we were doing everything ourselves, like right from the designing of all the layouts that we have in the office. We have a breakout area which says Hello Gorgeous, because that's how we usually address our family and friends, you know.
Correct.
So it just came to us so naturally, and we wanted to make it very green so that, you know, it's a little lively and you don't feel you're sitting indoors throughout the day. So yeah, so we worked on it and we did everything on our own, right from brainstorming to designing to shooting the place to having the pictures go online and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, of course, I'm being a photographer, I had an advantage for that. But yeah, so we did kind of work really hard to.
Yeah.
So for our second center, what we want to do is, keeping her wishes in mind, is look for a blank canvas.
Correct.
So look for a blank space where she can actually go all out and be creative and do whatever she wants to do.
Yeah.
But definitely we want to expand and create more centers. But then again, we also need to make sure that we're not scaling too quickly as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was just
going to
say,
the right growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because on the one side, you are supporting startups. On the other side, you're a startup yourself.
Correct.
So you
so
can't.
A lot of things that we're juggling in our heads as well. So.
I agree. So you have to be careful of that.
Yeah.
I agree with you. So let me move on to some of your learnings from the people you have seen in UOCupy as startups, you know. And the first question I have is, and this is to both of you also, is that I have always received different opinions on whether a startup should have a single founder or have co-founders. I've had one which was single, and the brand called You is with a co-founder.
Okay. So,
what are your thoughts on this?
So I personally feel having a co-founder and having a sister as a co-founder is perfect, because, you know, in spite of our differences, you know, you always have each other's back. And, you know, you just, like, in a startup, you really have to juggle between a lot of things. So sometimes if I'm not having a good day, at least I know there's somebody who can handle it, and vice versa, you know. So she's always got my back, I've got hers.
Yeah.
So it makes life easier. You can delegate work, you can, you know, work together. And then anyway, two brains work better than one.
I agree.
So, I mean, something which I may not understand, probably she understands, and vice versa, right? So, yeah,
that's,
I guess,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And again, based on all the people you meet who you are nurturing and supporting, what, in your opinion, are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
Okay, so I'll think about some. I'll mention some of the things that they should keep in mind.
Correct.
While they're starting up a new journey. So firstly, I would say have a flexible business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say flexible is because as a startup, if you have an idea, you're so passionate about that idea that you don't think about anything else, right? But the real world is actually different.
Mm.
When you go out to the business world, the environment is ever changing.
Yeah.
Like, the business environment is so fluctuating. So you have to have a business plan that you can actually mold in accordance to what the market needs, but not losing your passion and purpose at the same time. So have a business plan, write it down. If you have a thought, write it down. Secondly, I would say is have goals, have measurable goals, and set timelines as well. Because being an entrepreneur, you sometimes are, it's a lonely journey, like you just mentioned, right? Yeah. And sometimes it's very easy to lose track and you can procrastinate things. So it's important to have goals. And even if you like make small daily changes that can result in achieving your goals way quickly, and have it measured so that you keep yourself accountable. Some of the other things I would mention is have the consistency, discipline, and motivation. So one of my favorite saying is, waking up every day motivated is not a talent. You're not born with it.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle and a mindset.
Correct.
So always remember to have a positive mindset, be disciplined, and be consistent. Because the roller coaster ride of an entrepreneur's journey can sometimes be very demotivating as well. That's the time, that's a real challenge. That's the time when you test yourself, how would you lift yourself up and go back on track?
That's well said, very well said.
I think it's really important to network and have mentors as well as startups, because as I just mentioned, and I'm repeating myself probably, the journey can be lonely sometimes. So it's really important to surround yourself with people, not in the same industry itself, but also talk to people outside of your industry. Because some of the brilliant ideas can come from people as young as 17-year-olds.
So, or as old as a 70-year-old.
Or as old as a 70-year-old, absolutely.
Yeah.
And have mentors, people that you confide in and who you see as inspirational figures, definitely have them as your mentors. So I think these are some of the things to keep in mind.
No, that's very, very good advice. You know, thousands of people will listen to your chat, and it's great advice. And coming from you, I think it'll be heard and understood much better. So one more question on startups before I move to the third part, which is some personal questions.
Sure.
And this on scaling up. You know, you're looking at scaling up yourself. My question to you is, when should a startup start to scale up?
Okay. So for any startup, firstly, obviously the starting point is having an idea. Once you have an idea, you have to validate the idea. Once you've validated the idea, you're doing your market research. So I think you have to be very careful about scaling up, because I was reading an article where it said 74% of startups fail because they scale up too quickly.
Correct.
They want to grow.
Yeah.
I think nowadays the perception in people's mind is, yes, I've got a startup, I'm just going to raise funds from the market, I'll get the money, and I'll make money out of it, right? That's not the right attitude. It's important to have your purpose and passion aligned to it as well.
Correct.
And once you've got all of that, then you gradually scale up.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. So let me move to a few questions for you, both of you personally. First question is that, you know, you spoke a little bit about people who've mentored you. Both of you have spoken about the importance of mentoring. My question is, have you had people who've had an influence on your life? And if yes, what kind of advice or learnings have you had from them?
I think our biggest pillar of strength has been our mom. Because from a very young age, we've seen her juggling between her professional and her personal life.
Mm-hmm.
The minute she got married, she went overseas, and she was probably the first Indian there.
Okay.
So she had language barriers, food problems, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. But I mean, being from India that time, back in the day, she did not know much, you know, 1970s.
Yeah.
But she really helped. She helped my dad grow his business. We had an Indian handicraft shop in Macau. And
In Macau,
wow. Yeah. So that time,
and you can imagine, back in the days, no one knew where Macau was.
Yeah. And I mean, even the people there would see us as some aliens, because there were no brown-skinned people there. So it was just very weird. Anyway, so my mom, she really helped my dad grow his business. And she gave him a lot of ideas to kind of, you know, expand. And then we opened a second store, and then we had two stores. So we've always seen her, be, you know, working, and always seen her being so disciplined with her timings and stuff. Like, we were also given chores to do if we had to earn our pocket money. It was not like we were just given money.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've learned that time management from her. We've learned how to, you know, earn our own money or whatever. You know, like simple things we've seen growing up. So for us, it was not something new. Even when we shifted to India, my mom still had the entrepreneur in her, and she said, okay, we should probably start doing something as well from here. Then we started exporting shawls and scarves.
Okay.
So yeah, then I was helping with the designing bit, and you know, so we were always involved in something or the other. She has been, she's been our mentor. She's, you know, taught us a lot of things, and I think it just comes within us from a very young age to see how people.
So I remember back in the days when we were in Macau as well, like we would finish school and after school we would go to our dad's business and help them out.
Okay.
Yeah. So small skills that we picked up, I think, when we were really young has really helped us.
Fantastic.
And our parents have absolutely encouraged us all the time, like our mother especially, when we get nervous and when we're starting something new, we're like, I don't think I can do it. She'll we'll confide in her, she'll give us the confidence and say, you can do it, just go for it, you can do it.
How nice to have such a strong anchor.
Yeah, she's really
fabulous, fabulous. So let me ask you a second question, and this would, I'll ask both of you. What would be three adjectives that defines each of you?
All right, so I would say to define me, it would be amiable, positive, and resilient.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And
I would probably call myself friendly, creative, and honest.
Okay.
Yeah, I think these three qualities really like shape me up, make
Fantastic.
Me the
Fantastic. Well, between the two, in the six adjectives, I think you both have everything right for you, Occupy. Wonderful. The next question is, again, for both of you. When was the last time you did something for the first time?
Like right now?
Right now. I was going to say that as well. Like, okay. I would say right at this very moment.
Yeah. So I've always been behind the lens. So, you know, to be in front of it is a different experience for the first time.
Okay.
And also, I mean, for a person like me who does not like swimming, I did scuba diving recently. So that was something I did for the first time.
Okay.
And I actually realized that, you know, the fear, most of our fears are just in our head.
Correct.
So, I mean, I don't even like going in the water, but when I decided that I have to do scuba diving, so I actually did it, and I think I was on a high for 2 weeks after that.
Fabulous.
Like, it was a different feeling, and I was like, dude, if I can do this, I can do anything. You know, that kind of a thing.
So I only have time for one more question.
Sure.
And that is going to be about failure. And I've often said this, that Indian parents don't teach children that it's okay to fail.
Correct.
You know, we all keep on talking of come first, get in the queue, right in front of the queue, and it manifests itself in a traffic, on an aircraft.
Absolutely.
Both of you are still very young. So what would be your learnings from some of your mistakes? I won't use the word failure.
So like Thomas Edison rightly said, I mean, he did not find a thousand ways of he found thousand ways of not how to make a bulb instead of not finding it.
Yeah.
So I think we should not take failures as failures, and we should take them as stepping stones to reaching closer to our goals.
Okay.
So that's one thing. So we should, I mean, you're right in saying that people in India don't, or otherwise parents don't see failures as failures, and they, you know, they probably scold their kids for not getting good marks, etc. But that is what happens, because when you train them like that from the beginning, we are scared of failing.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think failing is a bad thing at all, because the more you fail, the more you learn.
Correct.
Even the finest mountaineer did not climb Mount Everest in one go, you know. So even he did a lot of practice, and he must have failed numerous times.
Absolutely.
It's very sad that we only read and hear about success stories of startups and never about the failures. Mm. So which is why at YouOccupy, we want women to celebrate their failures as a badge of honor and, you know, just talk about it, because the more discussions we have, we know that we're not the only one in the same boat. There are a lot of other people who've experienced similar stuff, and you're not the only one.
Wonderful.
And it's a great opportunity to learn off each other's mistakes as well, because some of the best opportunities comes from all your failures that you have. So the whole idea of YouOccupy is actually, we actually have a session, an offline session, where people talk about what they're going through, the hard times, and then also reflect on what went wrong and what you could do better going forward to actually, you know, achieve a better result.
Fantastic.
So the failure that we guys must have experienced is, I think the fear of failure was our failure, because we thought of this concept some 5 years back, but we were just so afraid of failing and not convinced enough for it to go forward that we just procrastinated for 5 years, and we could have done so much, but better late than never. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
So Neha, Megha, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure having both
pleasure.
Of you.
We thoroughly enjoyed ourselves.
And I wish you lots of success, and I hope to see YouOccupy in every major city of India.
Thank you.
That's
so
our
much.
Dream as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.